Well, welcome back to another episode of Winning Through Culture. I am excited today to be with a very special guest, Harvey Smith. Harvey is the founder of Institute Success. Institute Success is a business coaching company, and I'm going to have Harvey talk a little bit more about that, but I've had the honor of working with Harvey now for almost 17 years. Met shortly after arriving in Charlotte through a mutual acquaintance. And again, I'll have you, Harvey, talk a little bit about your business startup and the evolution of that. But I was looking for a business coach, and you were in the business coaching realm and had a unique approach that certainly resonated with me. And we have now worked together all these years. Our organization has done a great deal with you and your organization. So welcome, Harvey.
Thank you very much, Tim. It's always a pleasure and an honor to spend time together with you. I had the honor of running a division of the largest textile company in the United States. And I would travel around the country every week, and I would meet with CEOs, heads of sales, plant managers. And during the day, we would talk about the problems they were having with delivery cycles, the timeframes for getting goods across the country, the delivery of product coming in and going out. But it was very interesting, Tim, because at night to a person, they would complain about their people. And I was responsible for 200 men and women myself. And I had the exact same problems that they had. I didn't know how to lead people the way they wanted to be led. I assumed, hey, I'm the boss. You know, we pay their salaries. They should listen to us. And strange event happened. They didn't listen to me. They had their own ideas of what they should do and how they should do it. And I was very frustrated. So after 23 years of being in that world, I decided to go back to school and learn how to be a business coach. And that was back in 2003. And since then, Tim, as you've said, I've been your coach, and I've had the honor of working with hundreds and hundreds of men and women in the field of all kinds of manufacturing, professional services. And every day, not only do I have an opportunity to learn and engage with them around their issues, but I also continue to grow in this concept that we call leadership myself.
And you have worked with business owners across multiple industries, Harvey. And I'm curious as to how you see or define a healthy organization, company, or culture.
This is a very unique time that we're in. They're starting to frame it as the Great Resignation. According to Gallup, 70% of all American workers are disengaged from their jobs.
70?
48% of employees are looking to make a change. 1 in 4 will actually make a change within the next 6 months. And 4.3 million people have left their jobs in August. That's the highest number of people ever. The top two reasons, according to Gallup, the number one reason is employees don't like how they're being communicated with by their boss, or not communicated with by their boss. And the number two reason is the job does not motivate me. It doesn't make my yayas go crazy. I've learned something you and I have talked a lot about, which is leadership is communication, and communication is leadership. You know, the foundation of every strong relationship, whether it's our personal relationships or it's our professional relationships, is trust. And trust can only happen through communication. Google partnered with MIT and did a research study that they call Project Aristotle. They wanted to identify the most productive team in all of Google. They interviewed 180 teams, and they found that the most productive team, it was not the fastest team. It wasn't the smartest team. It wasn't even the most technologically savvy team. They found that the highest performing team was the team that developed trust and safety with each other. Today, we call that psychological safety. Psychological safety. When members can really trust one another, when they are not afraid to be imperfect, when they're ready to be human beings. When a person on the team feels secure that a fellow member of the team is not going to throw me under the bus, and that even when we disagree, we're not going to be disagreeable. It is very powerful, because I know when I was a younger executive, I thought I needed to have all the answers. And the truth is, if we're going to have a very strong team, it takes a collaboration of different people with different skills, different ways of seeing and looking at the same set of problems. It's pretty interesting that I had the opportunity of taking a class, it was about 3 years ago, with these neuroscientists, psychologists, and other master coaches. And the class was around the neuroscience of leadership and communication. And while I learned a lot, and admittedly so, Tim, some of the stuff went way over my head. The three most important things I walked away with were very simple and yet very powerful. The most important thing that human beings experience is the need to feel heard, the desire to feel valued, and every human being is looking for a connection with one another. So to create a positive culture in this environment, a culture that is psychologically safe, we need to know that we can get along, that in our humanity, that we're going to grow together, that we're going to have a shared vision of what success is, and we're going to do our best and give our all.
Yeah, so a lot of what I heard you say has to do with leadership that's engaged and communicative, that creates an environment, the term you use, psychological safety, but really a place where people can be comfortable being who they are and being okay, trust-wise, in the environment, that's a good place to be, and that they get some meaning and sense of purpose from their work. It's not just making widgets or checking the clock in and out, but there's some sense of gratification that their work matters, and that ultimately they're in an environment that's conducive to helping them grow and succeed.
Well said, Tim. Well said.
Well, the communication piece, I'd love to expound on that, because that is definitely something I have worked on with you over the years and you've worked on with our organization. And I've seen firsthand the power of good interpersonal communication and also the destructive forces of poor interpersonal communication. So let's stick with the positive importance of interpersonal communication on healthy working relationships. Why don't you maybe expound on what that looks like for our listeners?
Let me first provide a contrast to what healthy communication looks like. In fact, just last week, one of my coaching clients told me that he recently left a position as a CTO from a Fortune 500 company. Mm-hmm. He said he was paid quite a bit of money to come over to this organization. However, over the first couple of weeks, he experienced the CEO of the company walking around, yelling at people, telling people everything that they weren't doing in alignment to his vision of his purpose of success. He practiced that old type of leadership of control and command. It's my way or the highway. My client felt diminished. He even said he felt humiliated and abused. And he shortly left the company. He's now working for another client of mine. A positive communication, people engaging with one another the way they want to be engaged. I want to share another story of how that manifests itself. A CEO that I work with of a technology company, which is owned by a private equity firm. And you know, with private equity firms, usually it's every 4 years they want to sell to the private equity firm.
Yeah. Right. To the bottom line.
Well, he was acquired by another private equity firm who said to him this: we interview a lot of firms. We talk to a lot of leaders and a lot of teams. And the new private equity person said, your team is very unique. I haven't seen teams like this very frequently. He said, what makes your team communicate? Even though they're very different and we ask them a lot of tough questions, they always seem to get along and they always seem to speak a common language. I don't quite understand what makes your team different than the other six organizations we looked at the same time. And our CEO said, well, I realize that the most important investment I can make is the investment in myself and my people. Very similar, Tim, to what you do by continually growing as much as you know, as much as you've done. You continually invest in your own growth and development and that of your team, as did he. We went into this organization and we did what we call the Engaged Leader Program so that people could understand really important concepts of the importance of being an engaged leader. That I impact you and you impact me because in reality, we are contagious. One of the powerful things that we teach, and it's a tool you use throughout your organization, is a leadership common language around communication so that I can understand and appreciate who you are, what you need, and you could understand and appreciate what I need. In our society, hopefully we talk about the positive aspects of diversity, diversity of gender and race and religion and sexuality and national origin. However, we rarely talk about the diversity of our communication preferences and how best to engage each other so that we feel as if you get me and I get you. And even though we are vastly different, we are working for a shared vision. And it takes a team in order to create a great success. We can't have seven Tim Flanagans around the table.
No, that wouldn't be good.
And it's very frustrating for people because, in fact, it does feel more comfortable when we are dealing with people like ourselves. Our CFO is going to look at things very differently than the people who are going to be our business development people. Mm-hmm. Our business development people are probably extroverted. They communicate effectively, effusively. And the CFO and her staff, his staff, they want to be left alone to focus on the data and the detail. And that makes sense. That's why they became accountants and CFOs. As we said, we need each member of that team to become successful. You know, it reminds me a little bit, I know you and I like football very much, and it reminds me very much of a successful team, a winning team, because we can't have everyone who wants to receive their pass. We need some people running. We need some people pass blocking. We need some people who are pulling guards. Each one has their own unique skill. However, if we want to get to the Super Bowl, we need them all.
Yep. And they all do their job. Let's expound on that. I have something I call Harveyisms, which I told you I think should be the chapter titles of your book. And one of probably the most prolific Harveyisms is understand who is sitting on the other side of the table. And we're talking about, specifically, you reference diversity of communication styles and the differences of how people show up. Expound on that. That's this idea of understanding who's sitting on the other side of the table, if you would, Harvey. What does that mean and why is that important?
So, Tim, I know you have two children. Do they see the world exactly from the same lens?
Not at all.
And would each one of your child want you to communicate exactly the same with the two?
Definitely not.
So you and I and all of our listeners, your listeners, were taught about the Golden Rule, which is a fabulous piece of advice. Do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. However, you just shared with me that your two children, very bright, very successful human beings, each see the world from their own lens. And they, in fact, want to be communicated very differently. And so we've learned, we call it the two golden questions. And the first golden question is what you just described. Who is that person sitting on the other side of my table? And the second golden question requires us to take personal responsibility. And how do I need to adapt to be successful with that person? It is our responsibility as a leader to understand not only our own strengths, our own desires, also our challenges, our blind spots. As a leader, we need to understand who that other person is. What are their strengths? What are their blind spots? If I'm going to delegate to that person, I need to know what I can count on them. And I also need to understand that there may be other people on my team who have different strengths, other strengths that I need and can rely on. The Golden Questions opens up this whole concept of the appreciation of diversity. When we hire people, we tend to hire people for their competencies. And that's essential. We should never lose sight, and we should continue to grow and become the best version of ourselves around our competencies. Because if in every encounter we have with another, we either gain credibility with that person or we lose credibility with that person. However, as we grow in our leadership, we also need to understand that the super worker that we promoted to be supervisor needs to start understanding and learning the skills of communicating and leading to a variety of different people. That quarterback, if he or she is going to be successful in this world, they need to understand what their split end strengths are, what their tight end strengths are, every member of that team and every challenge that they have, and how they want to be engaged so that not only can they be successful, but that every member of the team could be marching down the field for first downs and touchdowns so that we not only are able to win this game, but we're able to move down this continuum so that we'll be eligible for the Super Bowl.
So really getting a sense as to who you're working with and not hoping they adapt to you, but you understand who they are and adapt to their communication style and of who they are, I think is critically important. You told some stories around both good and bad culture, working relationship environments, and conflict is obviously a component of workplace, business, life, marriage, adult children. What are some of the pitfalls or minefields you see business owners fall into when trying to communicate and or handle potentially conflict-filled situations?
A few weeks ago, during a coaching session, one of my clients, I'll call him Charlie, you know that everything we do is confidential.
Yes.
However, I will change the name and I'll change some distinguishing facts here, but the story is real. So Charlie came to me and I could see that Charlie was very disoriented. And I said to him, Charlie, what's going on for you? And Charlie said to me, you know, Harvey, I have this contractor out in Tennessee, and I'm about to make that visit. We have all these workrooms, and we rely on our contractors to provide not only great service, but also to communicate, to be very cordial with our clients, because our contractors, they represent who we are. They are the face to our world. And I have this one contractor that apparently has not showed up at some of the jobs, does not call, does not let our people know after the work is done, how the work has transpired, if there's issues or the problems. And Harvey, that is absolutely intolerable. Tim, I could see by his expression and listening to his tone of voice and watching his body language that my client was really upset. And I said, I'm curious, have you had conversations with this contractor yet? And he said, no. I said, well, how do you know all this? And he said, Harvey, well, I read the docket with all the information from his previous manager. I said, okay, that sounds reasonable. However, let me just double click on that, go a little deeper. So I asked whether you had any conversation with him. Are you aware if anyone has had conversations with him about what success looks like? What a successful contractor working for your organization, what that is? Have you asked your contractor what he needs from you in order to be a more high-performing member of your team? And I saw a big blank look on my client's face for a while. And he said, Harvey, no, I never had that conversation. In fact, I'm not sure anyone in my organization had that type of a conversation with them. And I said, well, I'm really curious. The way you lay it out, it sounds like he's a very important piece of your organization. Has anyone also asked him what you, we as an organization could do for him? He said, I don't think so. I don't think so. So my client went out and I heard back from my client about 2 weeks later. And I said, so how did your meeting with your contractor in Tennessee go? And he said, Harvey, you're not going to believe this. I started to ask my first question. What do you need from us as an organization to help you and your team become even more successful in the work you do? And my contractor said to me, no one has ever asked me that question. In fact, I felt as if I was very unimportant to the success or the workings of the organization. We didn't engage with the members of the organization because we didn't think anyone wanted to engage with us. We thought we were just a pimple somewhere. And in fact, if I was to call them, I would be considered an annoyance. Well, my client shared with me that after his conversation with his Tennessee contractor, that after the contractor does his work with his team, he gets a call every time. And the question from the contractor is, do you need me anywhere else? What else can I do for you? What else can I do for the team? Leadership is communication, and communication is leadership. Every person wants to feel heard. Every person wants to feel valued. And every person is looking for a connection. And that's what I learned when I spent that year-long study with these neuroscientists, these psychologists, and these other master coaches, is that each one of us as human beings have needs. We have wants. And the most important want is we want to be treated the way we want to be treated. And so just as you in your organization use a tool that helps us understand, again, that thing that you like so much. Who is that person sitting on the other side of the table? Both in our personal lives and in our professional lives, it makes such a significant difference when we take our own essence and feelings to heart, because we too want to be liked and we too want to be communicated the way we want to be communicated. However, first, as a leader, as a parent, as a spouse, it's most important to first honor the person who is on that other side of your table.
As I was listening to you share that story, it couldn't help but realize how often, in the absence of information or communication, people make up a story, usually never a positive one. And had that person not had the benefit of a conversation with you prior to that, what that meeting may have looked like. And conversely, as a result of taking a different approach, going in essence, prepared for conflict with a lot of assumptions and faulty information, turn that around to a discovery process, in essence, and appreciation of who was on the other side of the table. And it sounds like it became not only a fruitful discussion, but a fruitful contractor relationship going forward.
Tim, I often say to my clients, I cheat. I do. I cheat. And this is what I mean. I always have the meeting before the meeting with myself. I know that if you and I were going to meet with one of our large clients, that we would have that meeting before the meeting. Well, everyone that we have an opportunity to engage with, I consider them to be Mr. or Mrs. Walmart or Ms. Walmart, the most important person that I could be talking to. And so I take the time before, just a few minutes, and I look up their assessment. We do a leadership communication assessment. And at the end of today, I'd love to offer, because you always have been so generous to me, I'd love to offer your listeners a gift, an opportunity, if they are interested to take this leadership communication assessment and a debrief. A short debrief, so that they not only understand the tool, but they understand the magnificence of their own desires, their own strengths, and also blind spots, and it helps us understand and appreciate the others. When I cheat, I am looking at a piece of paper around what is this person's preference? How should I communicate with them to let them know that I care about them? I recently read a book by Chris Voss, who was an FBI agent, who said, never split the difference. And the old way of getting information from terrorists and kidnappers was the good cop, bad cop. And he said that wasn't as effective. And so he practices a skill that we were taught as certified professional coaches. And that skill is called active listening. Listening to the other person the way the other person wants to be heard. Asking them follow-up questions. Tell me more about that. What about that's important to you? We know that in order to be a great communicator, and we said leadership is communication and communication is leadership, we know that we should be speaking 20% of the time and listening 80% of the time. And listening and speaking in a way that's going to make a connection with the other person.
That's a generous offer on the leadership communication survey. We'll come back to that assessment, but that kind of leads me into another question about there are a lot of resources out there for a business owner to better understand the people they work with. One that we've used extensively in conjunction with you is the DISC and the attributes component of that. What are some tools you recommend, Harvey, for business owners to utilize, whether it's an actual assessment tool itself, book? And we'll talk about Institute Success and the classes you offer in a little bit. So I'll let you speak to that later. But at general level, what are some of those resources? Maybe start with DISC.
DISC is a behavioral assessment tool. The reason I use DISC with most of my clients, it's a very simple language. I know, just as I am and you are, my clients are very busy people. And so I want them to have a simple tool that's going to be a powerful tool that will help them understand the most important asset they have, which are their people. Just a quick story around that. One of my clients said, you know, Harvey, I learned from working with you. I have a Mercedes. It's an $80,000 Mercedes. I'm very proud of it. I take it in and I have it serviced all the time. He said, but I realized working with you that I don't invest the same amount of money and same amount of time in my people, and I'm paying them $80,000 and more. So understanding them and what their needs are, that's some of the responsibilities that I have as a leader. So we use two key assessments. The DISC is one, and the second is also the values. What motivates the people that work with you? What drives them to success? As leaders, our responsibility is to know how to engage with them. It also is our responsibility to understand how to motivate them, how to drive them, because we each are driven and motivated our own specific way, and it may not be my way. You're right. There are other great tools that I am certified in. The Colby is one tool. The Big Five assessment is another. They're all great tools. I would recommend become certified, become knowledgeable, have people in your organization create a common language. I'll go back to the DISC. After 18 years of being certified in multiple tools, I find that this is one of the most practical. The people I work with, they need to have something that's going to be quick, to the point, and that's going to help serve them so they and their teams could be even more successful.
In another way, a bunch of high D's.
You know.
Yeah, yes, I do. Yeah, now we've used that tool in conjunction with you now all these years, and it's been very, very valuable to help on the communication front, interpersonal communications, team communications, and on the values piece, also understand what really does motivate people. And both of those assessments have been extremely beneficial in the growth of our organization, the formation of our culture. And I think to your point, they're investments worth making, not substantial investments compared to the return on that investment. The return is great compared to the investment to be made assuming everyone uses it, to your point, and it does become a common language, and it's not used as a tool to bop people over the head with. That's another thing you have to watch for is, I remember early on when we started using the tool, I had to remind everybody, the tool is not to help you tell everybody who you are and how they have to deal with you. It's for you to understand who you are and who everyone around you is, so we can all figure out how to work with each other, not go and say, hey, I'm a high D, so you have to work with me like this. The whole conversation brings me back to a question that I would venture to say a lot of business owners listening to this might be asking themselves, and it's in one of my sayings, which is around hard, easy. The hard way becomes the easy way. The easy way becomes the hard way. A lot of this stuff, Harvey, sounds hard. It's like, wow, sounds like a lot of time, investment of money. To your point earlier in this podcast, like, why don't people just do their job? I am curious, from your perspective, as you think about building a healthy culture, the value of the time invested on the front end and everything we've talked about, how does that show up in the back end of an organization or a culture? And you shared some stories about it, but as you're building or trying to build a healthy, vibrant, understanding, and productive culture, a lot of what we talked about, I know for our organization, has gone into doing that. But I literally, before this podcast, had someone in my own organization who's relatively new ask me, he said, where did you find the time and the energy to put all this together? And I looked at him and I said, oh, that's a great question. We just did it. But as I told him, I reflected on it. I said, yeah, it's a hard, easy way in the sense that it's been a greater investment of time and energy, and it's been challenging at times, but I certainly think it's manifested in the culture that we've created. So, I mean, what do you, advice, I guess, would you have for people that are questioning the investment of time? What's the payoff in the health of a culture?
Tim, you're on to the reality of leadership. Mm-hmm. Men and women oftentimes tell me that they want to be a leader. If you've never had the experience of being responsible for others, you have no idea how difficult it really is. Yeah, we think, I'll make more money, maybe it'll even be easier. I hear at least once a week, Harvey, it's not fair where we began. They don't listen to me. I'm the boss. Why don't they just do what I ask them to do? Why don't they get along? Being a leader is a huge responsibility. One of the benefits in the assessment, not all of us are wired to be leaders. Some of us, though, we are motivated and driven if we are high political, which is we have a strong motivation, our values are that we enjoy leading. Well, even then, it's still not easy being a leader. Leaders are developed, and they're developed like anything else, through hard work. And today, more and more, we're learning in order to be an exceptional leader, one has to invest, as you just said, their time into understanding, creating self-awareness, awareness of me. What are my strengths? What are my challenges? Awareness of others. Who is this person on the other side of my table? What are their strengths? What are their blind spots? If we want to get to the Super Bowl, each of us, as we come together in the huddle, has unique strengths. The average, just the average football player in the NFL is making $3 to $5 million. Each one probably has a clause in their contracts that if I catch X amount of passes, I'm going to make an extra $150,000. So it's certainly in their interest to have that experience. However, when the quarterback calls the play, each member of the team understands what his or her role is in order to help the team be successful. And when they break and they go to the line of scrimmage, each one is going to function at their highest level of capacity so that they not only could get that first down, we score touchdowns, and we have that rare opportunity of going to the Super Bowl. A leader needs to learn what we call the triple win. My responsibility as a leader is knowing myself. It's the foundation of a triangle in the triple win. It's the foundation of trust in every relationship. And I need to know you, and you need to know me, and we need to have a relationship of trust and connection with one another because we do things for one another. And in this triangle, the top of the triangle is the organization. So while you and I on the bottom, the base, the foundation of every relationship, I know how to communicate with you. I know it's important to you. You know it's important to me. We also have an agreement with the organization that the leader is going to speak in the name of the organization. And the employee is also committed to the organization. The organization, after all, takes care of the employee, offering them direct deposit, PTO, development, a place to come. The leaders made that relationship with the organization. You bestowed upon me leadership, responsibility. And so sometimes I need to speak in the name of the organization. Together, though, we have a responsibility called the shared vision of success. Leaders are responsible for themselves and every member of their team. They can't afford not to engage. In fact, my three favorite words are engage, engage, engage.
And I appreciate you teasing out the reality of self-awareness. I talk about that a lot on this podcast. Is, I think, back to your comment about people wanting to be a leader, it's usually a positional or economic statement. And I always fond of saying you have to lead yourself before you can lead others. So I do appreciate you bringing that to the forefront. An effective leader needs to be an effective leader of themselves in their own life first before they should be taking on responsibility for others' lives. And I appreciate you also talking about that, but really what I would say the multiplication factor of leadership, doing the hard work. I know for me personally, I've taken great satisfaction out of seeing the leaders in our organization become who they are as leaders and people. And the organization is much stronger now as a result of that multiplication of leadership, much stronger than it would ever be under my own power or leadership. And then the recognition that the vision of success, which we could do an entire separate podcast on, and maybe we will, your model of success, the success triangle, really about what's the mission and purpose of the organization and how are we all creating a win. Stephen Covey talked about win-win. It's really a win-win-win, a triple win to your point. So I think that's another great reminder of how to create a healthy, vibrant culture. So really appreciate the time today, Harvey. Before we finish up, and I will come back to your offer and how people can take advantage of that, but I thought it might be a good idea for you to talk a little bit about Institute Success, you know, the business you founded, and you've got a great team now. Maybe just a little bit about the work you guys do as an organization and how any of our listeners may be able to engage with you and take advantage of the great programs you have.
Thank you, Tim. So we are very client-focused. We understand that clients have, as you mentioned, great strengths, and we all have challenges. And most of us have been, as we said earlier, promoted from being super workers, passionate about something, to becoming supervisors, to becoming leaders of people. And it still amazes me when I have the opportunity of working collaboratively with my clients that most of us need to learn the skills, the knowledge. We grew up learning that knowledge is power. I've come to learn that real power comes from the application of that knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And so we spend times, we coach, we do workshops on an ongoing basis so that our clients have an opportunity. We call it the Engaged Leader Program. They have an opportunity. We've done this in your organization over the course of many years, to learn concepts, and then we ask them to go back to their world and practice those concepts so they get real world experience. And then we have coaching sessions where we have a group session and bring everybody together so that they could learn not only from us, but they learn from the experience of other leaders. And then we do one-on-one coaching, that private time. So we invest in understanding who you are and what you need and what your unique situations are, because every person deserves to be the best version of themselves. And if Our best clients are those who want to grow, who want to be their inspiring self. And that is our ideal client.
That's good. And that's been, again, a great journey. You've been a big part of our success as an organization, and so many of the people in our organization that have taken advantage of the opportunity to work with you and your team. So thank you for that. I wouldn't be the leader I am today without your mentorship, guidance, and coaching. So thank you very much for that. So your gift, which is very generous, how might one take advantage of that? And we'll definitely put some of this information you're going to speak to in our show notes. So when people want to, if they don't capture what you're about to say, they can go to the show notes and capture it there. But let's maybe talk a little bit about how one can take advantage of that.
If you would like to take advantage of this gift, please go to your
internet browser.
Thank you.
Of choice.
Yes. And put in the word institutesuccess.com/winning. Because I know that everything you do, Tim, is about helping the people who work with you, for you, and all of your external clients win in life. And I honor you, and it's been my honor, my pleasure, to have known you over these years and to watch an exceptional leader continue to grow and make a significant positive difference in the lives of the people around you.
Well, thank you very much for that. Again, thank you for being on the podcast today. This has been yet another episode of Winning Through Culture. Our guest, Harvey Smith from Institute Success, institutesuccess.com/winning for that gift of the leadership assessment. And until we are together again, continue to build upon those things that we shared with you today to become a better leader, both individually and for the people that you are responsible for leading. So thank you again.